Still continuing that book. We've been talking about trials. Anybody going through some trials? Anybody been in through any financial trials? A few of you, okay. Others of you are going through trials. What is it, health, relationships? What's going on, huh? Y'all quiet now. James chapter 1, we're going to start at verse 9. We're going to read 9 through 11. It says, let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, but the rich in his humiliation, because as a flower of the field, he will pass away. For no sooner has the sun risen with a burning heat than it withers the grass. Its flower falls, and its beautiful appearance perishes. So the rich man also will fade away in his pursuits. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come before you today and we look to your word for guidance and direction, Lord, I pray that your word would continually transform us, that, Lord, it would be alive inside of us, Lord, that we as the people of God would be doers of the word, and Lord, that in all that we say and do, we would glorify you. We give you praise, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. I want to tell you a story about a donkey that fell in a well. You can see there's this picture right there, a nice little snapshot of that guy. But one day a farmer's donkey fell down into a well, and the animal cried piteously for hours as the farmer tried to figure out what to do. Finally, he decided the animal was old and the well needed to be covered up anyway. It just wasn't worth it to retrieve the donkey. He invited all his neighbors to come over and to help him. They all grabbed a shovel and began to shovel dirt into the well. All you ladies are like, they shoveled dirt in the well. At first, the donkey realized what was happening, and he cried horribly. Then, to everyone's amazement, he quieted down. A few shovel loads later, the farmer finally looked down the well. He was astonished at what he saw. With each shovel of dirt that hit his back, the donkey was doing something amazing. He would shake it off and take a step up. As the farmer's neighbors continued to shovel dirt on top of the animal, he would shake it off and take a step up. Pretty soon, everyone was amazed as the donkey stepped up over the edge of the well and happily trotted off. Now, the moral of that story, life is going to shovel dirt on you, all kinds of dirt. The trick to getting out of the well is to shake it off and to step up, amen? Shake it off and step up. Each of our troubles is a stepping stone. So if we could begin to look at the trials of life as a stepping stone, we are going up, amen? If we can get out of the deepest wells just by not stopping, never giving up, shake it off and take another step up, amen? You know, I bring that story to you today because no matter what is going on with your finances, don't quit. Everybody say, don't quit. Amen. Don't quit. Don't stop. Keep dusting yourself off and moving up. Amen. When I first read this passage in James, you know, it's kind of crazy there. It says, let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation. Let the poor glory in his exaltation, but the rich in his humiliation. I thought, you know, when I first read that, man, I thought, does God want to humiliate the rich? And he want to? Does he not like the rich? Does he love the poor and not the rich? But if you know the nature of God, you know that God loves the poor and God loves the rich. Amen. God is a God of love, so it's obviously Cole. He's not trying to squash the rich just so he could exalt the poor. That's not God's intention. That's not God's nature. God is looking to build people of God. Amen? So, I look at when God had Abraham here on the earth. God loved Abraham, and Abraham was very wealthy. Very wealthy. And I look at Jesus. Jesus was anointed with a very expensive perfume. If you remember, Judas got so mad. We could have sold that and fed a lot of poor people. And Jesus looked at him and said, listen, the poor are always going to be with you. poor are always here, but being rich is okay, amen? Maybe not. How many of you would rather be rich than poor? Some of you won't raise your hand no matter what. I would rather be wealthy than poor. And I don't think the Lord has a problem with people being wealthy. But you know, I don't want my wealth to come from the church. I don't want to get rich by getting paid by the church. I want God to do it some other way. So people can't look, you point the finger at me and say, oh, there's another one of them rich pastors. I want to be wealthy, but I'm not striving after that. When God blesses me, it's going to be Him, and it's not going to be, you know, because I pastor a church. You know what I'm saying? That's how I trust God for. Delonda always told me, oh, man, I don't want to get paid by the church. I'd rather just you keep working hard. You know, it's, but that's, you know, I've always worked hard. When I had my own business, being an injection mold maker for 25 years, I always worked hard. And God is always taking care of us. But, you know, God didn't take care of me the way that we needed to be taken care of until we became a giver. When we learned to tithe, bring your tithes and offerings to the storehouse, God says. He says, then I'll open up the windows of heaven to you and pour out such blessing that you can't handle it. There's too much. You see, and I didn't learn that early on. It was, I grew in the Lord. Somebody said, let me pray for you. You're having a battle here with giving. And when he prayed for me, and I had some brothers come around me and they prayed for me, and they broke off that mindset that said I didn't have enough to give. You know, they prayed and they broke that mindset, because if we get stuck in that mindset, I don't have enough to tithe, you never will have enough to tithe. It's a poverty mentality that we get stuck in. But when they prayed for me that day, it broke. And I've been a tither ever since. Now, it doesn't mean that I don't go through trials with finances. It just means that the Lord always brings me through. Always. And I mean always brings me through. Because we still have trials. I mean, we thought Jeanette's cart broke down last night because there was water in the garage. It wasn't her car. It's my water heater. I was like, you're leaving town. I said, hallelujah. You know, I mean, so things happen, you know, and you just keep going. Delonda looked at Jeanette and she goes, aren't you so glad it's not your car? Hallelujah. But that's how God covers. He protects. He blesses. Amen. When you give into the kingdom, he will meet you there. But, you know, as we look at this passage today, keep in mind that we all go through trials. Amen. But that in the trial, God is perfecting us, completing us, and making it so that we lack nothing. That's God's intent. If our only focus is money, if that's all you're focused on, if you think riches is just money, you're going to miss out on a lot of what God has for you, though. I do know that. Because I don't have a lot of money yet, but I'm very rich already. Amen. Anybody here have too much money? All right. Talking to the right crowd then. But number one today, go ahead and put that up on the screen there. If you don't have money, rejoice. If you don't have money, rejoice. Amen. He says, what, how did he put it? I like the way he says it. Better than I can say it. Let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation. If you don't have money, learn to rejoice. It's not about rejoicing that you don't have money. It's because even though you don't have money, you have the same rights as somebody who does have money. I mean, in the kingdom of God, when you come into the kingdom, you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have the same rights in the kingdom of God as the richest person in the world. There's no discrimination in the kingdom, amen? Philippians, I put here, because salvation is free and it exalts you into the riches of God's glory. I mean, when you're in the kingdom of God and how rich it is in the kingdom of God, you know, I think, like I said, that scripture last week, when the Israelites came out of Egypt, he gave them all the riches. I mean, they took gold and silver. They took all the riches out of Egypt with them. There was not a feeble one among them, so there was none of them sick. So like I said last week, when you see the Ten Commandments and you see that rickety old guy trying to get up on a cart, no, it didn't happen that way because there was no one feeble. That old guy would have jumped. He probably carried something too. You know, there's no weak, there's no feeble in the kingdom. And so then it says that he put a cloud by day and a fire by night. He's a protector. So that's the nature of God to us, is that he brings the provision. He provides for us what we have need of. Can I hear an amen? He gives what we need. So in Philippians 4:12, it says, Paul said this. He said, I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I've learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. This was Paul. A little or a lot, he'd learned. You know, when Delon and I got married, we had a little. We had a bed. That was it. We lived right here in these apartments. We had a bed. That was our furniture. And that was because my mom bought it for us for Christmas that year, right before we got married. We had a little. But God takes care of you as you're faithful, amen? Not that I have a lot right now, but I've got more than just a bed. And that's what God does. He brings you along. You grow in the kingdom, amen? And I know how to be hungry, and I know how to abound, too. I know how to, you know, I have a steak for dinner, but I know how to have pork and beans for dinner, too, you know? It doesn't matter. I know how to have a lot. I know how to have a little. But it doesn't ever change how I serve God. I don't come to him and complain, oh, God, pork and beans, are you kidding me? You know, can it be better than that? I mean, if you slide a steak under them pork and beans, it's really good. But you see what I'm saying? I've learned to rejoice no matter what. No matter what my body's telling me, I've learned to rejoice. I've learned to just rejoice in the Lord, and God always meets me there. And when you get to the point that Jesus is everything, it's where you really learn to live. You really learn to live there. If I have a little but am saved, I have all the riches of heaven. Amen. If I have a little, I'm exalted to the position of royalty as a child of the King of Kings. I am a child of the King of Kings. Because I'm a child of the King of Kings, I shall rule and reign with him. Amen. That's the promise to us. He makes us royalty when we come with him. We don't have to wait till we get there to be kingdom-minded, to start living as royalty. We can do it here and now. We pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. Everybody say earth. Just as it is in heaven. So in heaven, you think you're going to lack anything? No. There'll be no lack. And just like he says, my people shall not lack any good thing. Amen? And so that's the intent now, that we can walk in that now in the kingdom. Because when you come into a kingdom, you come in under the authority of a king. Okay, so and when you're living in that realm of God's kingdom, you are covered. That king makes sure that his people are taken care of. That king makes sure that they have what they need. That king doesn't, unless he's an evil king, you know, then he doesn't care about the people. He doesn't care if they got anything to eat. He doesn't care anything. But we live under the great king, the King of Kings, and he desires that we all be in health, amen, that we all prosper, that we all are thriving and living and protected and covered, amen. That's a part of living in the kingdom of God. And so when it says, let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, it's because of what the kingdom of God brings you. How many of you got some change in your pocket? Okay, you are in the top 10% of the richest people in the world. You know that? The average wage, this is how they figure the average wage. They figure that there's 7 billion people on the earth, that there is $7 billion of income. No more than that. It's a lot. But that everybody, if they divided all the income, that everybody would make $10,000, every person. But we know that's not true, so what the real average income of the people around the world is $1,000 a year. How many of you could survive on $1,000 a year? Not here. $1,000 a year. I can remember seeing my dad's pay stubs way back when, like $800 a month. I'm like, I have to make more than that a week. It's like, I don't know how you guys ever did it and raised six kids. You know, so when you look at the world today and you think that the average income really is around $1,000 a year and what people are going through, how can we go to China, Pastor Jesse, and teach them to have rejoice? Because it's the Word of God and it works. I was in this one place in China, and when I go, I'm teaching pastors. So I want them to be blessed. I want pastors to be blessed. I pay for my translator. I was telling Pastor Jesse, I said, listen, we might have two translators that we got to pay airfare for. We have to pay their wages for the week. So we might need a few bucks when we get there, a few more than we're thinking, you know, because we got to pay their wages, pay their way, their transportation to be with us. And so I would go out, and I was in this one place one time, and I was on a farm in the middle of nowhere. In a compound, they brought 52 house church pastors in there to be with me. And I really felt in my spirit to talk to them about tithing. So I went through, I spent probably 2 hours talking to them about tithing. And when I was done, because I told them, I said, listen, I pay to be here. I feel I have a liberty to talk to you about this because I'm not here to take anything. I'm here to give. And that's my intent. I'll go to give, not take. You know, so I'm there. I'm preaching to these people about tithing and how God wants to open up the windows, what he wants to do in them, what he wants to do through them, how he can go back and they can go and teach their churches. This is what it's about. It doesn't matter if you have a little, if you have a lot. Whatever you're faithful with will be the level you stay at, amen? And if you're faithful with the level, God will bump you up to the next. So I'm teaching these people. And then at the end of this, they came up to me and they said, we took an offering for you before you even taught this. I'm on a farm, listen, in the middle of nowhere. And they gave me 1,200 Chinese dollars. 1,200. That is in the thousands here in America. They gave me 1,200. I was blown away. I was, oh my gosh. I gave it all to my translator. I said, here, Lord's blessing you, man, and I just gave it all to him. It's just incredible how it works and what God does. When we start becoming those people that God has called us to be with what we're faithful with, he'll make us faithful over much, amen? So, that's the poor. Don't ever say, well, I'm poor, I can't give. No, say, I'm poor and I won't give. Don't say you can't, because if you got $1, 10 cents is the same as if I got $1,000, I got to give $100. It's the same thing. He's not asking more from one than he is for the other. It's just 10% tithing, amen? And I'm not here today to talk about tithing either. I'm just talking about being poor and being rich, but I think the Lord wants us to hear this. So you get to the point, like in Philippians 4:19, it says, my God shall supply all our need according to his riches in glory. Amen? He's going to supply all of our need. He knows what we have need of. Amen? So we can all glory in that verse. It's according to what Jesus has, not what we have. Now let's talk about the rich. How many of you are rich? All right, I like that. But the rich in his humiliation. How many of you want to be humiliated? Yeah, me neither. So, but this does not mean that God is out to destroy the rich or that it's wrong to be rich. What it means is that a rich man should walk humbly before the Lord because it is God who has blessed him. We walk humbly before the Lord because God has blessed us, amen? It's recognizing he's made you rich. He's made you rich. He'll bless you to be a blessing, amen? That was Abraham. He was blessed to be a blessing. And he was a blessing. I mean, look at, he said, hey, Lot, what land do you want? Lot says, I'll take this river stuff right here. Abraham says, okay, I'll take it over here. And he just went. He didn't care because he knew God was going to take care of him. He was blessed to be a blessing. I told First Service, you know, when Delon and I first started traveling, this couple came to us and said, we're going to give you $1,500 a month travel expenses. I'm like, wow, that's a lot of money. And they said, it's more than our house payment. I'm like, well, Lord bless you, you know. And they made $75,000 a month in their business. When they started that support, 3 months into it, their business had doubled to $150,000 a month. It really does work. Matter of fact, they could only do it 1 year because they didn't know how to handle all that God was giving them. They really didn't. They couldn't handle all the work. Their company expanded. They got another building, machineries and stuff. But I came home from China one time, and they saw me. They said, hey, we don't have any work. Here's $1,500. And they handed me $1,500. That was on a Sunday. On Monday morning, they got a call. They got a contract that they'd been on a year ago. But when they sow seed, and when we sow seed, when we give to the Lord, God pays us back. He does take care of you, amen? That's his promise. But you know, whether we walk humbly before the Lord or not, God sees the difference. He knows the condition of our heart. In Matthew chapter 19, verse 16 through 22, it's a story of the rich young ruler. And it says in verse 16, it says, now behold, one came and said to him, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? So he said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. That statement right there. The man said, good teacher. Jesus said, there's only one good, and that is God. And basically he's saying, are you calling me God? Is that what you're declaring right now? Are you calling me God? But the young man didn't capture that at that moment. You know, he said, no one's good but God. He said, but if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. And he said to him, which ones? And Jesus said, you should not murder, and you should not commit adultery, you should not steal, nor bear false witness, honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The young man said to him, all these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack? Now, when he said, all these things I have kept from my youth, why did Jesus have to come? Because we couldn't keep the commandments. If we could have kept the commandments and measured up to that, then he wouldn't have him to come. So what that young man is saying is that, hey, I don't need you. I already do that. I already measure up. So what else can I do? And see, when we think that we're measuring up okay, God says he brings the challenge because he knows the condition of your heart. He says, okay, if you measure up already and you don't have any need of me, then why don't you go and sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and follow me? And he went away sad because Jesus knew the condition of his heart, that his God was his riches. What's the first commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart. And then love your neighbor as yourself. So if you're to love the Lord your God with all your heart and you can't give away your riches to follow after Jesus, then who's your God? The riches. You're in First Service, though. Your riches become your God. And that was the case of the rich young ruler. He wasn't keeping the full commandments because the riches was his God, because he couldn't let it go to follow after what God had for him. And Jesus knew that. And Jesus didn't say, you prideful little, get away from me. I remember Delon and I were ministering one time in China. And we're at a business. And we went to this business. It was a management company for a pharmaceutical company. And The guy says, I said, what do you want me to preach on? I tried to respect the owner because, I mean, he put everything on the lines you want for me to come in there, me and Delonda to come in there and talk. He called this company meeting. I said, what do you want me to preach on? He goes, preach on faith and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I mean, and most of these people weren't even saved, you know. I said, okay. And so we got them saved, and we got people filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues. And, I mean, it was an incredible time for this business. And this one guy walked, and I always stuck around for quite a while to pray for people. And this one guy comes, and I said, well, how can we pray? He says, well, I need you to pray for my team. My team needs to be better. They need to work harder. And the owner looked at him, and she looked at me, and she said, this man's full of pride. I'm like, okay. And so as I begin to pray for him, we prayed, and they came to me 2 weeks later, and the man quit. He could not handle, because they were under the thought that, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And their business was their house. And their employees, Delonda and I went to all their companies, and they canceled work for a couple of hours, and Delonda and I would preach the gospel to them, and people would, they would accept the Lord, and then we would sit and we would pray for the people that they, the management people, they'd bring them to us one at a time in an office, and we would sit and we would minister to the employees at one time in a place where it's illegal to do it, and they would do it, because he said, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Amen? The rich. So this young man says, you know what, I still lack. Go and sell everything. Follow me. And like I said, he wasn't following the commandments because he was breaking the first one, have no other gods. His God was his money, and Jesus saw that, and he said, instead of saying, you're full of pride, or your money's your God, he said, he's basically saying, just let go of your God and follow the God. And pointing the way. You have to make sure that money is not your God and get to the point that it's easy come, easy go. You know, that was, what was that guy? They wrote a book on him, Job. That was Job, man. You know, Job loses his family. He loses his sons, his daughters. He loses houses. He loses his cattle and everything. I mean, he lost his kids and everything and went broke overnight. The devil was just trying to get him to curse God. And Job went in and he shaved his head. He tore his clothes. He got down on his face. He bowed down before the Lord. He said, the Lord gives, the Lord takes. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's where God wants us to be. Whether we have a lot or we have a little. Easy come, easy go. Because if money controls you, you're going to have issues. Amen? Number two, money should not control how you follow the Lord. There's no set of standards for the rich or for the poor. We're all the same in the kingdom. In Galatians 3, he says, there's neither Jew nor Greek, neither slave nor free, there's neither male nor female, for you're all one. Everybody say one. In Christ Jesus. We're all one. It doesn't matter your status in this life. In Christ Jesus, we're all one. Amen? You're not higher. Just because I'm a pastor doesn't make me higher than you who aren't a pastor. We're the same in the kingdom. Delonda and I, we watched that movie 42 the other night about Jackie Robinson. Oh, I wanted to jump in the movie screen and bust some heads. Oh, it was terrible, man, the way they treated that man. I just couldn't believe that they were so prejudiced and mean towards him. And because I don't like being prejudiced. I mean, look around this room. We're all different colors and everything. And I love that. I love that. Juan's from Portugal. He speaks seven languages. This guy, you know, and you know, Dan Redding. Where are you from, Dan? Wisconsin. Joe, where are you from? California. Me too. I was born in East L.A. Absolutely. Delonda was born in Downey. My mom was born in Boston, Massachusetts. We don't hold that against her, though. And See, we're all different, and that's got to be okay, amen? That we're all different, and there's no prejudice in the kingdom. So whether we're rich or we're poor, whether red or yellow, black and white, it doesn't matter. We're precious in His sight, amen. You know the song, hallelujah. So there should money should not control how we follow the Lord, because in the kingdom we're all one. And then number three, trust. Learning to trust the Lord. Where you put your trust matters. In verse 11 in James 1, it says, "For no sooner has the sun risen with a burning heat than it withers the grass, its flower falls, and its beautiful appearance perishes. So the rich man also will fade away in his pursuits." Easy come, easy go. That's what happened to Job. The Lord gives, the Lord takes. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If your pursuit is money and how you can gather riches to yourself, that'll fade away. God blessed Abraham because he was a blessing. Be blessed to be a blessing, not a hoarder. Amen. You ever watch them hoarding shows? Oh my gosh, that's scary. Don't be a hoarder. Amen. Be blessed to be a blessing. God gives you money, ask him what he wants you to do with it. See, people make mistakes too. We do. How many of you ever made a mistake with money? You know, you ask God for money. Hey, God, I need money for these. And God gives you money, and then somebody compels you to give it away. He gives you money for your bills, and you're compelled to give it away. And you say, "God, man, come on, I'm in dire straits here." And God says, "Well, I gave you the money, but you gave it away." You have to have wisdom about how God, we know we're supposed to tithe, amen? That's a given, you tithe. You know, that's why they don't talk about it a lot in the New Testament, tithing. I've heard people say, well, it's not in the New Testament because it's a way of life. To the Jews, it was just a natural way of life. You give 10% to the Lord, that's it. It's just like, you know, in the Bible, God never tries to prove to us he's real. He doesn't try and prove himself to us. He's God. What's he got to prove? He's God. That's how he looks at it. I'm God. What do I got to prove? They didn't have to talk about tithing in the New Testament because it was to be a way of life. So, we have the poor, we have the rich. We have the poor, we have the rich. We have the kingdom of God, which puts us all on the same level. We're all on the same playing field, amen? There's no discrimination between rich and poor in God's kingdom. The poor are made rich by receiving Jesus, and the rich are humbled by receiving Jesus, amen? We humble ourselves before the Lord, amen? And he exalts us. It works. As we learn to rejoice in the King, what we have and how much we have will not control our rejoicing. We rejoice because he is the King. We rejoice in the Lord no matter what. Amen. We rejoice in the Lord. Last night when the water's running in the garage and Delanda's like, "Oh, just call the landlord." Okay. She didn't get all freaked out, didn't get all worried. Just call the landlord. It's a big deal. It's just a water heater. You know, we can't be moved by every circumstance that goes on. Because then, what the devil does, Candace? The devil does like this. He's like, "Oh, this moves Candace?" And then he just keeps going and going and going and going and going to try and trip you up to get you to not stop rejoicing. But if he knows he can't trip you up with that thing, Evan, and you're always rejoicing no matter what, then pretty soon he's like, it's like with Job, you know. They picked it up with Job, and then they learned that we're not going to get him to curse God and die. He's still going to stay the course. And so the trials, they just go away. But here's what happens, though. We do good for a couple of weeks. And right, Priscilla, right when it's like the devil's getting ready to go, He's like, oh my gosh, this doesn't work anymore. We got to go. And then we give into it. It's like, ah, I got her again. And then we feel like we got to start all over again. It's if we stay the course of what God has and we rejoice always. Everybody say always. Rejoice always. Again, I say rejoice. When we rejoice, good times, bad times, you know, in health, not health, rich, poor, it doesn't matter. Tough relationship, good relationship. Rejoice in the Lord always. Don't blame God. I love it, you know, and I'm going to get into it in a couple of weeks here. But it says, just remember this. God does not send your trials. That's not God. He doesn't send them to you. So don't blame God for your situation. Get mad at the devil and rejoice in the Lord. Amen? Rejoice in the Lord. The promise comes to us, not just here in James 1, but in Revelation it says this. It says, Revelation 3:21. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Overcoming the obstacles of money are a big key to what God wants to do in us. He wants us to be able to be rich in him, not caring about our financial state, but to be rich in him, to be filled with joy. And peace, and kindness, and gentleness, and love, and self-control. The fruit of the Spirit abounds in us. Let's bow our heads. Father, we come before you today. And Lord, I rejoice that we are able to be here. I rejoice, Father God, that you first loved us. I rejoice, Father, that you didn't give us what we deserve, but you have grace upon us. Hallelujah. You have covered us under the blood of Jesus. We're forgiven and we're made free, even as we sang about today, Lord. We are free in Christ Jesus. We're free from bondages. Bondages of finances, Father God. The bondages, Lord, of whether we have enough or we don't have enough, Father God. But Lord, in you, we have the riches of the kingdom. And maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor Ron, money has been a controlling factor lately. I've been moved by money. It's been controlling my emotions. It's been really hitting me. And I want to let that go today. I want to just trust God today with that with the finances. I want to get into a position of rejoicing. If that's you today, just raise your hand. I want to just pray for you. Amen, 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 amen. Anybody else? Father, you see all these hands going up. I pray right now today, Father God, that, Lord, that you would be more than enough. That, Lord, that you'd break off, Lord, whatever the enemy has tried to put on. Lord, we take it off, we cast it down today. I pray for the God of peace to come upon the people of God. And that, Lord, that we get into that position of rejoicing in you, Lord, as you are our provider. Lord, that you have given us what we need. You know what we have need of. And Lord, you know the finances of every person in here today. So Lord, I pray that, Lord, you just continue, Lord, even as we sow seed in the kingdom to bless your people. And Lord, even as I prayed earlier, if they don't have seed, Lord, that you give them seed to sow, Father God. And Lord, that the windows of heaven would be opened up to the people of God. Lord, that there be more than enough. You know the plans you have for us. Lord, plan to prosper us, not to harm us, to give us a future and a hope. Lord, and I pray, Lord, that blessing over the people of God today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. I want you to stand with me. We're going to sing this song, Lord, I Need You. We're going to sing it one more time and just open up your heart to the Lord and let him know that you need him. You can't do this alone, but it is through Jesus Christ.
Without you, I fall apart. You're the one.
Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Lord, we need you every moment of every day. And I pray, Father God, that as we go our way, that you just cover each one of us, you protect us, you keep us, you encourage us, Lord, that we would recognize you in all that we do, Father. Lord, let your joy be our strength and help us to rejoice always, always in you, Lord Jesus. Give us a heart of rejoicing and praise every day, Father. Cover and protect your people in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Hey, this week, call in on the Spiro Network. If you don't know what that is, there's a card on the information booth. It's a prayer line. And pray for Pastor and Jesse and I this week. And we'll be home in 10 days. God bless you guys. Have a great week. To you, the blind.